Jesus, we heal now as your team, or we will die.
Faithful listeners out there, this is From the Cheap Seats. I am your gracious, amazing, extraordinary, awesome host, Jason Teasley. With me, as always, showing up late, but somehow always makes it in by the time I start talking, Mr. Jesse Starcher. What's up, man?
The hair of my chinny chin chin.
Yeah, you slide in with the ever so great
feet. Right at the end. So,
yeah,
you know, here's what I am. I'm a master procrastinator. Okay, I do nothing.
Well, you're
but,
a masturbator. Wait. I know that much.
Oh, well, I can't deny nor confirm. But you know, so I wait till the last minute to try and get the kids to bed. Almost had every. I was running early until my youngest had some. He's got something going on, so of course I had to take care of that. And immediately was upstairs at 9:56, finally getting all the kids ready to go. DVD in, light off, kisses, and jumped down here. Had to send myself an invitation and finally made it on the show.
You know what helps get the kids in bed?
Tell me.
NyQuil.
You know, what's funny is that, well, actually, it's not funny. It's horrible. Did you see the stat about West Virginia having, like, the more deaths than births this year?
You know, you want to know what it's called? It's called natural selection.
Well, clearly, you guys are killing yourselves off. And precisely because of the mindset that NyQuil puts the kids to sleep. Damn it, Teasley, no.
NyQuil slushies. Work wonders.
Wonders.
When you got shit to do, like a podcast,
a little
NyQuil slushy.
I know it, man. I know. There is no excuse.
It's called peace and quiet.
There is no excuse. Man, how the hell you been, dude? It's been a week or two.
Hey.
I think it's been a week. Did we get on here the previous week? We did, didn't we?
No, we took a week off. Last week, why did we not record last week? I think it's just because my ass was lazy.
Yeah,
last week.
You had a 36-hour shift, I think is what it was.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was coming off a 36-hour shift. Last Monday, I worked a 24-hour shift in Morgantown and then stayed on and worked a 12-hour shift in Morgantown.
Yeah,
and
screw that.
I just didn't really feel like I just didn't have the gumption in me. So we kind of took a week off, let Teasley recharge, and
not too many to blame you after that, man.
Well, no, I mean, once you put in like 60, I think I put in 66 hours in 5 days.
Jeez, man. That's insane.
Yeah. So it's hopefully, fingers crossed, it makes a good payday.
That's right, buddy.
Speaking of paydays, we're going to we're going to get into the news because we got two big topics to talk about.
Okay.
So speaking of paydays, I know our good friend White Dwayne listens, and he's going to owe me some money.
Oh, really? Now?
Because the vaping vaginas pulled off an immaculate victory late Sunday night to take them to the championship game.
Really now?
So the vaping vaginas are at least good for $300 this year.
So, can you pin it on anything that helped you out there last week?
Yeah, David Johnson being a workhorse, I was down 58 points going into the Sunday night game. He had Arizona's kicker. I had David Johnson and Zach Ertz, which was a tight end. David Johnson, running back for the Cardinals, the rookie running back for the Cardinals, and Zach Ertz, second-year tight end for the Eagles.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say David Johnson put up 53 points by himself, and Zach
nice.
Ertz got me 22 points. And I snatched victory out of the jaws of defeat.
Nice.
So excited. Shannon was in the shower, and I was so excited, I ran up to tell her, and as I was coming back down the steps, I fell. To which, well, we won't go into the reason why I was running back down, part of the reason why I was running back down the steps. But let's just say it's something I do on the show frequently. And
is that sleep?
No.
You had to run and take a nap?
The other thing I do on the show frequently.
Oh, okay.
And it was so funny because after I fell, I continued to run to the bathroom, to which Shannon looks out our upstairs bathroom, does not see me on the steps where I had fell. She runs downstairs to check on me, and I'm in the bathroom perfectly fine. And she said, I was concerned. I said, only be concerned if you see me still at the bottom of the steps.
And there you go. Yeah, you're still moving.
But we're in the holiday spirit. I'm in the holiday spirit. I'm not a Christmassy person.
Sure.
And also another thing this week, we celebrated a milestone this week.
A milestone.
2 years.
Yes, little, indeed.
I'm thinking it's either two or three years. It never showed up.
It has to be three because
Shannon,
you've been on the show for 2 years.
Yeah, Shannon's saying it's two, and I've been doing, this will be my third Super Bowl doing the show, and you joined right after.
Yeah, it wasn't too long after.
Yeah, it was, I think you joined right after, because I took a hiatus, and you and Robert done the show together.
Mm-hmm. I remember that. It says you've been my friend since December of 2013. Now, here's the thing. Did you have another profile at one point?
No.
This has always been the same profile.
Yeah, it's been the same profile.
Okay, well, then that's only saying we're 2 years then.
Unless, like, it did one of those massive deletes where it wiped out half of my friends list and I had to add people back. Because I'm thinking it's been 3 years. At least two and a half.
I know me and you used to bullshit on when we listened to the Casual Heroes. So, I mean, that's it is a milestone, sir. 2 years. That's You me and you became friends shortly after my my third son was born then. Right after.
It wasn't. Because I even remember you. Yeah, it wasn't very long after he was born because he was the one that had to go to Cleveland Clinic. Was it Cleveland Clinic?
Yeah, Columbus. He had to go to the Children's Hospital up there.
Because I remember talking to you while you was at the hotel.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And I remember because that was right before I first started talking to – That was right around the first time I met Mindy, too. Because I met...
Probably.
Okay, I remember the first time I met you was at a Remix Pro Wrestling show. You had the Jet is a Troll sign.
I think I kept that thing, too. It's around here somewhere in a basement.
So...
That's awesome.
But, yeah. It's been a wild ride.
Very.
But, you know... Speaking of which, you need to get with your wife. I was going to do this earlier, and I was going to try to. I should have told her to got a hold of her earlier today, but you know, me being lazy like that, I should have had her let you open your Christmas present before you came on air
tonight.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yep.
Because she hid it from you.
Yes, she did. She's I'm not allowed to go looking. And matter of fact, good Stephen Marsh actually sent me a present also. I got good friends when they're sending you presents through the mail. I can't open that one either till Christmas. It's sitting up there on the counter.
Did you guys at least get your Christmas card from Shannon?
Yes. I'm pretty sure that we did.
I don't do Christmas cards. I'll tell her to sign my name.
That's about the same way I am, man.
Yeah, see, I guess it's a female thing. I just let her. She says, I want to send Christmas cards. Okay, I'll get you the addresses.
Yeah. I'm right there with you, dude. Trust me.
She's like, do you want to sign it? No, just sign my name.
She's been sending me to go get stamps the past like week and a half because she has done a crap ton of cards, more than we usually do. But yeah, and we did. I'm pretty certain that we did get it. And our good buddies from the Figure Forecast hooked us up there with a neat little Christmas card too.
Yeah, I got the Figure Forecast card. It's interesting. It's an interesting dynamic. We talk about good Stephen Marsh, but he's dead to me currently.
All right.
He's just dead to me.
All right, then. I want to ask.
It involves him and Shannon and an Elf on the Shelf and Hotline Bling, and he's just dead to me.
Crazy combination.
Yeah, he's dead to me currently. I mean, maybe after Christmas I'll acknowledge him again, but currently
maybe when the new year rolls around you can forget.
Yeah, maybe I'll forget his transgressions with the Elf on the Shelf.
All right.
but we actually have two big topics to talk about. One is, has Odell Beckham lost his fucking mind?
Oh, jeez.
And secondly, a icon is now retiring at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll kick off with me being the Giants fan. And by the way, if anybody is listening to this, we are taking calls tonight. I'm actually going to pay attention to the switchboard until we get to the picks. Then after we get to the picks, I'm probably not going to pay attention to the switchboard. So just throwing it out there. But if you want to call in and talk, and if Stephen Marsh calls in and starts singing the Elf on the Shelf song, The Hero, I'm just going to mute him.
Oh, he wrote a song?
I'm pretty sure. It's on his page. It's on his page. It's my page. It's on Shannon's page.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. He went ballistic with it. That's why he's dead to me. But anyway, if anybody wants to call in, it's 323-657-0901. Again, 323-657-0901. Steven, don't call in singing that song. I will stab you. But did you watch the game? Because the game was supposed to be something really big and joyous at my household this weekend, but Shannon had to take care of some family matters.
Sure.
And, I just don't know where her priorities lies because, you know, when
the
two favorite teams are playing, you should clear the schedule. Nobody should exist except, and you just lock in, you get a pizza, and you trash talk during the game. Shannon had family matters and thinks family comes before football, and I don't believe that in that. I'm my happy ass gonna leave the couch.
It's NFL red zone.
Exactly. 8 hours of nonstop football, which they lifted on the Giants game due to this outcome. But the Carolina's defensive back, Norman, and Odell Beckham had a bit of a scuffle on multiple occasions, and it kind of got out of hand. I don't know if you've seen all the highlights and everything of this.
Yeah, I did. I watched them today.
So as an outsider fan, I want to know your take, and do you think Beckham should have been ejected from the game?
No. Okay. My take, I've heard quite a few different people talk about the situation. The head to head or the helmet to helmet hit that he put on what was that guy's name?
Norman.
I keep wanting to say more. Okay, Norman.
Yeah.
That was probably the most egregious thing that the guy did. I tend to lean more towards the fact that the officials should have took control of the game way before it even got out of hand, because there was, when you watch the highlight reel of what went down, I mean, there are more than a handful of incidents between these two guys. There should have been something done a lot earlier in order to claim or in order to calm these guys down. Ejecting Odell Beckham, I guess, I don't know. I don't know what really constitutes an ejection. I don't think that looked extremely that severe, other than the fact that it did look, I can't say that he did not have the intention of, you know, practically knocking that dude out when he launched himself at him during that run play. So I'm saying that I think the blame lies on the official's shoulders more than it does these two guys right now. They should have calmed down. Granted, that should have happened, but you need, if the officials are going to let you get away with a few things and you're that hot-headed and you're that, you know, intent on making this other guy pay, then, you know, you gotta calm down. You've got to calm down. But if the officials aren't going to do their job, they're not going to know their limits. You're going to be blind with rage, and you're going to go insane. That's, you know, that's what the officials are there for, is to try and keep that shit in check. So someone should have got word and said, okay, watch these guys, because they are going at it. And it should have never got that far. How about you, Teasley?
Well, as a Giants fan, I think he should have been ejected when he did the blindside helmet-to-helmet.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as that happened, I think that an ejection should have happened. But I do agree with you. The officials let it get out of hand, and now Beckham's facing a one-game suspension. Norman has got nothing in it. Did he get fined? Shannon said he got fined. Which, I mean, is understandable. I mean, yeah, I think some fines and suspensions should be administered. But,
yeah,
honestly, I think Beckham, and this is coming from a Giants fan, I think Beckham showed his immaturity. Norman did his job. He got it. He knows Odell Beckham's one of the premier wide receivers in the league. He knows he's young. And he did what he did. He got in his head. It was a psychological game. And now Odell Beckham and the Giants are trying to save face and saying, oh, they brought baseball bats out. And, yeah, they've been doing it every game this year. And I'm a Giants fan. I'm a diehard Giants fan. I even said that the Giants would upset the Panthers this week. If anybody was going to beat the Panthers, it was going to be the Giants this week.
Yeah.
But, like I said, I think Beckham should have got ejected. They let things get out of hand because, one, Norman is one of the cogs of that Carolina defense. If he would have got hurt this week, imagine the uproar. If he would have got hurt due to this atrocious play. And I was a Beckham fan, like I said. Huge. He's one of the premier wide receivers in the league. But he's also a kid still yet in most aspects. He showed his immaturity. He showed that people can get to him, and they're going to exploit that. Teams will exploit that from now on. They're going to come out. They're going to play him and know that they can get to him and know that they can take him out of the game that easily.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, it kind of was refreshing. The NFL has become a pussification league. with all these rules and everything. And it was a throwback to the early when I first, like, really started getting into football. Back when, like, Deion Sanders played, him and Andre Rison, well, I think it was Andre Rison, could not stand each other when they played against each other. I mean,
yes,
they battled. And then you had, like, who played for the Titans. I mean, everybody said that he was a dirty player. You had people like Chuck Cecil. I'm trying to think of the guy that played Arizona that it was Cecil and the I'm drawing a blank. It was a defensive back that got killed.
I don't know, man. You're not talking Tillman.
Yeah, Pat Tillman. Good job.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pat Tillman. Everybody, Chuck Cecil and Pat Tillman, everybody talks about they was headhunting defensive backs. They were just hard-hitting defensive backs. But occasionally they played a little dirty. And it was acceptable. You went out, you played the game, you got into scuffles. Deion, respect the fucking set. Over being all loud.
Stop choking back there.
I'm not on the clock now. I won't save your life. But it was a time in the 90s, early 2000s that football was football still yet. Mm-hmm. And you would have these spats. Deion was known to get into people's heads. Even more recently, Richard Sherman. Richard Sherman would not shut up. He is the epitome of a trash talking defensive back that will try to get in somebody's head, and he may cheap shot you. He may cheap shot you, but he's going to do it within the confines of not getting caught.
Yeah,
Norman and Beckham.
Clearly, yeah, I was going to say Beckham.
There was no.
It was out there.
There's no discretion about it.
No, sir.
And some of the things I've seen that's came out. I mean, Norman's showing his kind of asshole-y slide with some of the things he's been saying. But I mean, it's all. I think it's more or less all in just retaliation, because he knows he can get his head, and a lot of other teams are going to take that notice too, and know that they can get in Beckham's head and completely take him out.
Oh,
of the
yeah,
game.
That's going to be a target for. And the good thing is this kid's young, and he can, you know, pretty much work on, you know, correcting that. That will be. He could make that something that is not a factor in a year or so. Let's hope so anyway.
He reminds me of a lot of Randy Moss when he came in, when Randy came into the league.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
A brash, young, uber talented, but just let his ego kind of write checks he's asking cash.
Mm-hmm.
And that's basically what Norman said. He said, if you're going to play football. Concentrate. Work hard.
Yeah.
Don't be going out here being spokesmen for Head and Shoulders and stuff. You know, it was kind of one of those things. I'll tell you another defensive back that used the a tactic, and I'm pretty sure that, you know, it's part of a team me and you both hate, and that was Polamalu. Troy Polamalu would get in your head. He would talk smack. He would get a little cheap shot in there. But he did it discreetly. You wouldn't see it until you watched the replay. He wasn't going out and smacking the piss out of somebody right in front of, you know.
Yeah.
Like I said, there was some discretion. There was it was a lot of hard-nosed play. but also it was no malice intentions. So I guess I was hoping we would get at least one caller about the whole Beckham thing, but I guess nobody wants to talk to us. If you do, it's 323-657-0901. Seems smooth like butter.
Like butter.
Secondly, the other big story that I want to talk about is the fact that we're going to be losing one of the premier defensive backs of the NFL, and that's Charles Woodson, is going to retire at the end of the season. He's going to retire a Raider, too. It's interesting. He was one of the, I think, if I'm not mistaken, him and Peyton Manning are the only two people from there. They came out in the same draft class, and the only two people still active in the NFL from that draft class. I think the rest of them died of old age.
We ain't too far behind there, Teasley.
Hey, Peyton was drafted Peyton was drafted the year I graduated high school. So,
wow.
So he was at least Peyton's at least 4 or 5 years older than me.
Man, that's crazy to think. And Woodson, I remember hearing his name so many times throughout the years. What a career this guy had.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Charles Woodson, I think he came out, if I'm not mistaken, Charles Woodson came out of the University of Michigan. He was a Heisman finalist.
I think he won, didn't he? Did he want it, or did he win it?
I'm thinking he might have.
They said he was the only, if I remember hearing it correctly.
He did come out of the University of Michigan.
Okay.
He might have been the only defensive player to ever win the Heisman.
Yeah, I think he was. At least that's what I remember hearing. I mean, that's impressive right off the bat. And then he goes on to have one of the...
He did win the Heisman.
Yep, and goes on to have this career that's just insane. 39 years of age, and just causing problems for quarterbacks left and right.
Yeah, he was drafted out of the University of Michigan. He was a two-way player who played offense, defense, won the Heisman Trophy in 97, becoming the second behind Leon Hart of Notre Dame in 1949 to win the award. To date, he is the last player to win the Heisman Trophy who was not a running back or quarterback.
Wow. Impressive.
Oh, let me rephrase that. He was taken in the fourth overall in the 98 draft. Him, Peyton, and Matt Hasselbeck. Which Matt Hasselbeck had took some time off. He's at the helm of the Colts right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they are still they're the three currently active NFL players from the 98 draft.
Wow. 98. It's crazy.
That is crazy. Wow. He's only played, to my knowledge, he's only played for two teams. Yep. He was drafted and played for the Raiders in 98 to 2005. Then he signed a huge contract to go to the Packers from the 06 to 12 season. Then he came back home to the Raiders where he'll retire, signed with them 2013, and he will retire with them at the end of this year. So, yeah, Charles Woodson, I mean, there's not much you can't say about him. I mean, he's 39 years old, playing at the top. He's an all-pro this year by no stretch of the imagination. He's going to be selected to the Pro Bowl. But at 40, basically, he's 40 years old.
Yeah, 40 years old.
Playing defensive back against a bunch of very young, very, very young wide receivers who have ungodly speed, and he is still playing at an all-pro level. That is amazing.
Listen, any Raiders fan out there ought to be very proud. I know we know a couple. So this is somebody that I would have... Oh, hold on a second.
Yeah.
I've got a big echo here. Hold on a second. Be quiet. There we go. Anyway, any Raiders fan out there, I'd be very proud. We know a couple guys that are probably are very proud to have someone like him on their team. I would have loved to have had a player like that on the Browns at one point.
Well, you do, but he just can't stay healthy.
And that is Hayden.
Joe Hayden.
Yeah.
He's not on the level of Woodson, but I mean he's that type of player.
Yeah. I'm gonna cut out of here real quick. I know we're getting ready to go to picks. I've got to run upstairs real quick. I'm gonna check on my son there. I hear him crying. I promise I'll be right back in like less than 5 minutes. All right.
All right. I'll try to carry the show for 5 minutes.
Don't fall asleep.
I will not fall asleep, I promise.
I'll be right back.
All right. While Jesse steps away for a minute. I'll continue to talk about the career highlights of Charles Woodson, who was, like I said, I mean, be his age and to his list of accomplishments. He has one Super Bowl ring, currently stands at 9, which at the end of this season is definitely going to be 10. Pro Bowl appearances. He's won the NFL Defensive Player of the Year, the NFC Defensive Player of the Year, Defensive Rookie of the Year. I mean, there's so much that Charles Woodson has achieved in his time in the NFL. So it's amazing how much, like I said, he's still at the prime of his. Yeah, he just announced it December 21st that 2015-2016 season will be his last. It's just amazing how much he's accomplished in his year. Especially, I don't think that he's not played a season. Nope. So, I mentioned him, Peyton, and Hasselbeck are the only three active players, but he's the only one who has been active. Everybody knows that Peyton had his neck surgery and was out for a year, and he's not been back this year in the later part of the season. I really look for Peyton to hang it up at some that me and Jesse will talk once he gets back. But Woodson has not missed a season. He's been in the NFL since 98. So that's going
right
on. Hey, you scared the piss out of me.
Had to run up there. We got all sorts of problems here. Mindy, she has to work for some reason. I don't know why. So that leaves me in charge of the kids who don't want to go to sleep, and two of them are on Christmas break, thinking that they can stay up till whenever. I think we need to send them down your way.
I told you how to fix it.
NyQuil.
NyQuil.
Oh,
hey,
man.
We'll call it the Uncle Teasley slushy. Some blender, a little bit of ice cream, a whole lot of NyQuil. Hey,
oh man,
what's the worst that could happen?
Nothing. They go right to sleep.
I mean, you know, I might win Parent of the Year.
Yeah, sure.
But, you know, we're getting ready to get into our picks. But the last thing I want to touch on before we get into picks is the fact that Peyton is still active.
Is he?
Well, he's still on the roster.
I was going to say, that could be up for debate with some people.
Do you think that he needs to retire this year? Do you think he needs to follow suit with Woodson and retire?
He does. Just what we don't want to see are these players that are going to go out with a whimper instead of a bang.
Well,
and really,
you just segued into a future show.
Which is?
Retire. And to discuss, I was going to discuss some of the players that were former great or more remembered for them not wanting to let go.
Yeah.
Rather than go out in their prime. One player you cannot put in that is John Elway. John Elway went out on top. He won the Super Bowl. He won the Super Bowl, said, "I'm done. This is how I want to remember."
Mm-hmm.
On the
hate
flip
the guy
side
with
of
a passion, but I respect the fact that he was smart enough to understand how to go out on top.
And I'm not going to limit this just to football, because, I mean, you look at one of the greatest basketball players to ever live. A lot of kids will never know that he was the greatest player to wear a Chicago Bulls uniform. They will remember him as a Washington Wizard. Some people will not, and this is one I really want to get White Dwayne on for. Some people will never remember Brett Favre as a Packer. They will remember him as a New York Jet or a Minnesota Viking.
Minnesota Viking. Mm-hmm.
Rather than being the legend of Lambeau, they're going to remember him being a shell of what he used to be, sending dick pics to interns. So,
wow.
I do want to touch on that. I do want that to be. I think that's going to be one of our post Super Bowl shows. That'll be our. I think I might make that our last show of the season.
Okay.
And us go out on that, because by then, you know, we'll do the Super Bowl, we'll get our Super Bowl reaction, and then we'll just try to get everybody together to, you know, I'd like to get White Dwayne to come on, I'd like to get Pat Mullen on here, I'd like to get Gavin Napier on here, and, you know, just kind of do a round table of players that held on just a smidge too long, because there's a... There's quite a few out there. So, just briefly touching, we'll foreshadow. So, you're saying that Peyton should hang it up this year at the end of the season?
Yeah. You look at Charles Woodson, and he is a very much what I would call an exception to the rule, where he has... A great career. I mean there's a couple spots in there where he doesn't have the opportunity to play due to injury or something like that, but most of this guy was, you know, he was insane most of his career. Peyton Manning is on the downward slide. You can see that, and that's obvious. It's time to hang it up, man.
Yeah. I'm right there with you. And plus, I mean, you know, he's the lesser Manning, so.
No, here we go.
We'll just leave it at that.
Sure.
We're going to do this the lovely style that we always like to do.
Rapid fire?
Rapid fire. Because I'm kind of, you know, as anybody listens to the last show I was on, I tend to see just let people talk, and I take quick naps.
You ask big questions and then take naps while they answer them, which is actually a damn good strategy if you ask me.
Yeah. You know who taught me that? Mark Radlich. just let people talk. Take a nap when you can.
Yeah,
but
that's the way to do it.
But on the Thursday night game, we have the Oakland Raiders taking on the San Diego Chargers, which is another thing that we're going to discuss in a future episode once everything becomes announced, and that's the fact that San Diego may have played their last game in San Diego this week. So there won't be no more hitting the music for the San Diego Superchargers. They might be becoming the Los Angeles Superchargers. So who do you got? Do you think that San Diego goes strong? Or do you think Oakland is still...
Oakland. I'm taking Oakland.
You're taking Oakland.
I am.
That's an interesting pick. I'm actually taking San Diego.
Superchargers.
San Diego don't have a running back outside of Danny Woodhead.
Mm-hmm.
And Danny Woodhead is a nice running back to have. He's a weapon out of the backfield. He might not run over you through the line, but the little white boy on the edge catching a pass is pretty dangerous. So
indeed,
this is an interesting game. This next one we're going to discuss is a very interesting game, and that's the Redskins taking on the Eagles. The reason why I say this is interesting because one of these teams will be representing the NFC East. currently, it is the Washington Redskins. I'm actually going to take Philadelphia in this. And there's an interesting thing that goes along with Philadelphia. They signed DeMarco Murray to this big, long, massive, lucrative contract when he left Dallas. And guess what may happen?
Oh, no.
They may be eating the money and cutting him at the end of the season.
So he can
rejoin the Dallas Cowboys.
That is called a fall from grace right there. Just all the promise in the world and then nothing.
Well, it was the matter of the front office seeing the NFL leading rusher,
mm-hmm.
and wanting to sign him, and the head coach having a scheme that was not built for DeMarco Murray's talents. And what the ultimate slap in the face was that I noticed watching the Sunday night game, the Eagles had the ball on about the 1 yard line. It was 4th and inches. And DeMarco Murray's on the sideline.
Wow.
DeMarco
Why?
Murray.
Why do you do that?
DeMarco Murray is a huge back that is known for gaining anything that I'm pretty sure has never been stopped in a 4th and 1 or less. and
Chip leave him Kelly on the sideline.
Chip Kelly leaves him on the sideline and chooses to try to run a straight up dive with a smaller cutback runner rather than a big workhorse runner. And needless to say, they did not convert. So
wow.
I'm actually going with the Eagles. That kind of makes me sick to say, being division rivals and everything. But that's better than me taking that team from Washington.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with Washington here. We'll see how we do.
All right, so we're against each other all the way up. So far, we're picking against each other.
Two games, yeah, two games.
I'm pretty sure the next two games, we're going to do the next two. We'll go 2 by 2.
Sure.
That we'll at least agree on one of these games.
Okay.
The first one being the New England Patriots taking on the New York Jets. Second game is the Houston Texans taking on the Tennessee Titans.
Houston Texans, Tennessee. I'm definitely taking Houston. And I am taking – now, I just saw an article talking about how Belichick is considering resting them starters. But this is a divisional matchup, right?
Yeah.
We're talking the New York Jets who have a shot at the playoffs here. Their record right now stands at I just had it. Any idea off the top of your head? Hold on. I've got 9-5. So it's not like these guys are – I'm going to have to take New England here just because they all understand it's an important divisional matchup. They won't let the game get out of hand. New England.
I'm going to go with you. I'm taking New England and Houston as well. I think that if Belichick's going to rest starters, he's going to do it week 17. Week 17, not week 16. As for the Houston game, everybody knows my man, one of my man crushes resides in Houston. And after a very slow start, they turned it around and has put on a is poised to maybe win the division. It's going to come down between them. And honestly, I think it's going to come down between them and the Jags, who wins that division. I know.
Yeah, Jags are on.
See, somebody once told me at the beginning of the season on this show, they said the Jags was going to be a nice young team that once they found their identity, they would be a playoff team. Yeah, I believe it was me that said that.
You might have said it. I'll tell you what, right now, no, can't do it. I'm waiting for your cue, but we'll talk about the Jags game here coming up in the second half.
We're going to talk about the Jags game. The next two games are the Browns at Kansas City and Indianapolis at Miami. You know, if we was close to Kansas City, me and you could go to this game. You know how much we could get tickets for this game, Fat?
How much?
$15.
Oh, goodness. It must be a pivotal matchup in the NFL.
I'm pretty sure that it's pivotal, all right.
Oh, yeah. Pivot your ass on out the door. Kansas City. I'm going to go with Kansas City. And, boy, Indianapolis at Miami. Two teams that are underachieving. I'm going to go with – let me look at this. I just want to – I'll give you a quick matchup. You want to – tell me who you're taking between Kansas City and the Browns.
I'm taking Kansas City. I think Cleveland still – they have no identity.
No.
They just have you got Hayden that's hurt. Manziel's quarterback, which I don't expect him to be a Brown next season. They had a once promising rushing game, and that's faltered. And I still think that Cleveland is kicking themselves for not taking the young receiver out of West Virginia when they had the chance, and take Kevin White to anchor a receiving core. Because even as a Browns fan, I'm unsure if you can name a starting Browns wide receiver. I think the best wide receiver on the Browns used to be a quarterback, and that was Terrell Pryor.
That's crazy. Oh, geez.
So
man.
I'm going to take Kansas City, and I'll go ahead and tell you the Indianapolis-Miami
yes,
pick.
Take the lead on this.
I'm going to take Indianapolis simply because I think Andrew Luck's coming back this week. If so, then that gives Indianapolis a boost.
Yeah.
But you still got – You still got the backfield that Frank Gore still needs to learn how to run without his walker, and Andre Johnson needs to not have his walker on the sidelines either. But you got two young, promising receivers, and Dante Moncrief and T.Y. Hilton. You get Luck back. They sign a nice free agent running back, or even draft a nice young running back for this offense. Next season, they can turn it around. The Luck has not had any luck this season. He's been injured. He's had a, I think it was a ruptured, maybe a lacerated spleen.
That's some serious shit, man.
And
kidney. I can't remember which one it is.
Yeah, I know it was, I'm thinking it's a spleen. It might be a kidney. But on top of multiple broken ribs, so he's not had the best luck this season. Mm-hmm. So, and if I was Indianapolis, I would shut down Luck for the season, let him heal. He's too big of an asset to your organization.
He's about the only asset right now to that offense.
Well, I mean, like I said, you got two nice young receivers, but I would rather continue forward with a Sly veteran in Hasselbeck and see what transpires, rather than put my franchise quarterback in and maybe potentially get more damage to him than what needs to be done. So go ahead and with your pick.
I'm taking Miami. I'll just go different from you. Miami probably want to get a win at home. Both these teams are struggling pretty tough. I would give the nod to Indianapolis if Luck is definitely coming back. I think that will give them the boost. But as for right now, I'll take Miami with the home field advantage and hope that they've got the sense to try and win and the motivation to try and win this game.
All right, the next two games are the San Francisco 49ers taking on the Detroit Lions and the Dallas Cowboys taking on the Buffalo Bills. The shit sandwich is the San Francisco Detroit game.
I don't know, man.
I'm going to take Detroit just based on the fact that San Francisco doesn't have a running back right now. They let Frank Gore go. Carlos Hyde is on the IR. Sean Drawl, who they brought in to replace Hyde, is dealing with an injury. So they're like signing people off the street. I think they called and left me a voicemail to see if I'd be a running back for them this week.
You didn't return it.
No, I told him I was busy. And honestly, I think I want to take the Dallas Cowboys over the Bills. The Bills are going to be playing without LeSean McCoy due to a knee injury, and the Cowboys always say the teams that have nothing to lose is the most dangerous team, and that's Dallas in this case, because Dallas is basically playing for draft position only and maybe trying to entice somebody to maybe become trade partners and make a play for somebody like Manziel. RG3 is going to be available, from my understanding, what I've read. There's a couple of nice young quarterbacks coming out that are going to be very, very, very franchisable. I think that Dallas is in the mind frame that they got to start transitioning away from Romo due to his injury history. I mean, it's like, you know, the inevitable that I'll have to face with the Giants. Eli's getting to that point where the Giants are going to have to start thinking how to transition away from him, and it'll break my heart. But
yeah,
also,
it'll be a rough one.
Also, it's part of life. I mean, you some of your favorite players, they do age and they do get hurt and they don't play to their abilities anymore. So
the circle of life.
Hey, that's my ringtone of the mornings that wakes me up. I've taken Detroit and Dallas.
All right, man. I've got Buffalo and I've got Detroit, so we're split on the Dallas Buffalo game.
Okay, next we got Chicago at Tampa Bay and Carolina at Atlanta. I'm taking Tampa Bay and Carolina.
All right, no worry of them resting the starters there in Carolina.
Not till next. Riviera said that he would rather he'll rest his starters once he gets a big enough lead.
Okay. All right.
And
I don't think that's going to be
catching
too much.
He's catching a lot of flack over it because they said that he is disrespecting the Falcons organization. And I'm like, no, he's probably just telling the truth.
Yeah.
So.
That most likely will happen. Okay. So, yeah, I'll take Carolina here also, who have a very good shot at going undefeated this season. And then what was the next game? Chicago-Tampa Bay?
Yeah, Chicago-Tampa Bay.
Oh, boy. Let me take a look at the Chicago game here. and just see what we got going on. Chicago 5-9, Tampa Bay 6-8. Boy, I don't know, man. I'm probably going to go with I'm going to go with Tampa Bay here also. Home team. Tampa Bay's not horrible, so I wouldn't mind. I wouldn't put it past Tampa Bay to take Chicago on and beat them down there in Florida.
All right, the next game is going to make me sick when I talk about it. And then you got, which is Pittsburgh, Baltimore. Then you got the Jags and Saints. The reason why I'm going to be sick is because this weekend I'm actually going to have to cheer on and be a Steelers fan due to, like I said, I'm in my fantasy football championship. I'm playing for $600. Ben Roethlisberger and Marcus Wheaton are on my team. So I think this Baltimore team does not have a defense that can handle Big Ben this weekend. Ben torched a very, very good Broncos D.
Broncos defense, yep.
One of the top five Ds in the league. Ben and Antonio Brown ass raped that defense for multiple. So I think that if Ben can do that to a stellar defense,
yeah, it's going to get ugly
Baltimore,
in Baltimore.
Yeah, and Lowell, I'm sorry.
Lowell's been he's just been suffering all season, man.
I mean, they have not caught a break this season. Losing Steve Smith, losing Forsett, then Flacco goes down. I mean, they're the walking wounded of the AFC currently. So
that's the truth.
And I know the fact that at his household that he's going to just have to suck it up and take the lumps this weekend. So I'm apologizing beforehand that I got to be a Steelers fan and cheer against Lowell and his Ravens as much as I really wish I could take Baltimore. And then, of course, do I even need to say who I'm taking in this Jags-Saints game?
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
and now there's rumors that Breeze is supposed to play Sunday. At least he wants to. Has torn some kind of something or other, plantar fasciitis. I can't even pronounce it. But, you know, if Drew Brees is playing, I'm taking New Orleans here. I'm just going to go ahead and stick with that. You're taking the Jags, I'm sure. You want your girlfriend's boyfriend to do okay. Actually, you said they're married, aren't they?
Yeah. I want to point something out. We brought up Randy Moss earlier.
Mm-hmm.
The wide receiver for the Jags, Allen Robinson, is the youngest player outside of Randy Moss to have consecutive 1,000-yard seasons.
Oh, wow.
Kudos. So, and I think that offense is just going to get better. Once T.J. Yeldon, once he learns the NFL style of running,
mm-hmm.
he's not. I don't see him being a super superstar running back. I think that he's going to make a nice little impact. I think he's going to be good for what the Jags need him to be. Bortles is just going to get better and better. I think that he's in the top 15 quarterbacks this year.
Wow.
I'm thinking he might even have cracked the top 10. I'm not. I don't have the stats currently in front of me. But if we had Justin Ewing on here, I'm pretty sure that he
would know.
He would know because he's a huge Jags fan. It's one of those things that I think I'll stick with it. You give the Jags maybe next year, they're going to be a force in the AFC. They're lacking a couple of key components on defense, but once they get I think that the I honestly think the Jags will have a nice draft class, maybe get a good, solid defensive free agent, and you're not only you're not going to be talking about a Indianapolis AFC South. You're going to be talking about the Jacksonville Jags being the team to stop in the NFC and the AFC South.
Mm-hmm.
So, are you going to take Pittsburgh or Baltimore?
Yeah, I'm taking Pittsburgh here. I don't think there's any way the Ravens and Pittsburgh has a lot to play for. Their performance last week, just like you were talking about against the Broncos, was damn good. And the Baltimore team, it's zombies out there, man. It's going to get ugly. I think Pittsburgh wins this easily. And I'm going to, like I said, I'm taking Drew Brees and the New Orleans Saints. If Drew Brees is playing, I think I have confidence that they'll be able to get it done. We'll see how that goes down.
All right, we're going to do the these last four games all together.
Okay.
It's St. Louis at Seattle, Green Bay at Arizona, the Giants in Sunday Night Football versus Minnesota due to scheduling change, and Cincinnati at Denver. I'm just going to name off my teams. I'm going to St. Louis. I'm actually going to take Arizona, I'm taking the Giants, and I'm taking Denver.
Okay. Yeah. Taking Arizona. Taking Seattle. And AP out?
No, AP will play.
He will. Okay.
And there will be trash talking leading up to this game between me and Dan Hines.
Dan Hines. Oh, I can't wait to watch that happen. And you're taking Denver. Cincinnati going into Mile High. I don't want Denver to win, to be honest, because I don't want to see a Pittsburgh have a shot at the playoffs here. All right,
well,
so I'm taking
Well, you got that defense coming off of Pittsburgh blasting them, so they're going to be out. And you have Cincinnati playing with a backup quarterback due to Andy Dalton being out with a.
That's right, and they're at and backup
there. And Denver's at home.
Denver's.
The fact that since if Dalton was playing in this game, I would take Cincinnati, but the fact they're going with AJ McCarron over Dalton being unavailable and that Denver defense coming off of Roethlisberger and Antonio Brown lighting them up the way they did, I think they're going to be out, and they're going to pressure a young quarterback, and he's going to make a lot of mistakes.
Okay. So Arizona, Seattle, Minnesota, Denver is my run there. So all together, 2, 4, 6, 7 games this week that we have different.
Okay, that's enough for me to spank you and take a sizable lead.
Sorry.
Let's go ahead. I'll let you go ahead and wrap up and get your plugs and everything in, and then we'll go ahead and get out of here.
All right, man. Well, Merry Christmas to you first off there, Mr. Teasley.
Happy Kwanzaa to you too, Mr. Stark.
Folks, give the Rattlitch and Broadcasting Facebook page a like. You'll stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have out there. I'm not going to list all of them. You can go check it out. Just like the page, and you'll be able to see all that great content we have. Myself, we didn't do a source material last night. Everything's falling apart when Christmas hits, so I apologize if I had a schedule written out. Teasley, I know we had plans to do Death In and Death of the Family. And, of course, my procrastinating butt, just too hectic, and I haven't really got everybody's shit together to where we're going to record anything. So we just kind of took it easy there last week. This past Monday, like I said, we didn't do anything, but me and Ronnie did do a bullcrap episode with my buddy Justin Thomas, and we talked He-Man and all sorts of fun geeky stuff. So if you're interested in it, check it out at SourceMatCast on Twitter. You can follow me at Stiznarkey on Twitter. Definitely check out the Screaming Boy Productions, Ronnie Adams, Adam Runyon. They always have a good time. They bring on people to take naps. It's freaking awesome. Best radio
yeah.
year.
Now, let's go back to that.
Sure, let's do it.
Now, I haven't listened to it. You've obviously listened.
Oh,
is,
man.
How noticeable is it when I fall asleep? Because what had happened was I hadn't got my new charger for my laptop.
Mm-hmm.
Charger, which had a short in it. And the downstairs, I couldn't get a charger downstairs, so I had to take it upstairs. And I was laying in my bed as I was on doing the show. And
not a good spot to do a podcast when you're tired.
No. Stretch out on the bed with two very knowledgeable people going on like a good 20-minute discussion.
These guys went off on Star Wars. It was that was entertaining. And I almost couldn't blame you because those guys had it down. There was really, honestly, dude, you could have took a nap and no one would have known the difference. I honestly don't know if anybody really did because
I think the only people that realized I took a nap was Ronnie because Ronnie called my cell phone and leaves me a voice message. And I'm pretty sure that it was like the time we did Mortal Kombat. I just woke up right in the middle of the conversation. Because when I woke up, Adam was still talking.
Yep.
And I was like...
Yep. Okay. See, here's the thing. I was in the middle... I was kind of chatting back and forth while you guys was doing the episode with Ronnie. And I think he kind of gave me the heads up. Oh no! You saw we was in that group conversation where said, "Hey, you fell asleep." But anyway, I was sitting there thinking, listening to the episode. I was trying to pick it out. When you wake up, I was sitting there going, "Okay, how the hell is Teasley actually going to fit himself back into the conversation and pretend like he didn't just fucking fall asleep?" You did a damn good job. I can tell you that much.
Seamless.
Like, oh my goodness,
like,
dude!
Like butter.
If you would have just snored a couple times, I would have loved it. But you didn't. It was absolutely silent, and I was like, "Shit!" I knew you'd fell asleep, and when I was listening to the episode, I was just waiting. But nope, nobody could tell. Fun episode though. You guys did. You guys tore it up. You guys did a good job. Ronnie and Adam know their Star Wars shit. That's for damn sure.
Oh yeah, yeah, and the fact that. If you go back and listen to it, we actually discuss a lot of the rumors.
Mm-hmm.
A couple of them actually play out. I'm not going to say which ones. A couple of them actually play out, and it shows that I may not be on the level of Ronnie and Adam when it comes to Star Wars. I kind of hold my own when I'm awake. So,
good times, folks. Check out the episode. It was a great episode.
Well, see, this is also what I point out. If Ronnie didn't screw up, we could have got the original episode up and ready, but we had to go with 0.5.
0.5, the live version.
And actually, I blame Adam, too, because Adam was late getting on the show.
Well, you guys, who's to blame for the no intro music?
That would be me. Because
there's
planes
to go all around. I'm glad I wasn't on that fucking episode, then, because it would have been my fault at some point, too.
No, because I set it up, and for some reason... I don't know why it didn't play.
It's blog talk, dude.
I think it was a file that you uploaded on one of the shows, and because there was nothing, because I tried both of them that is on the switchboard there, and they played nothing, and I was like, "All righty then, here we go."
Well, I can tell you, blog talk's done that to me before. I've had the intro ready to rock and roll, sat there. It was one of the ones I had Mark on. There's nothing going. I had to manually go over and actually start it, but I was able to get it started after hitting play. That's yeah, ball talk, man. You can't expect perfection.
I did that, and it still didn't play nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
That's great stuff.
But it was a fun episode. It was a very fun episode.
Very cool.
But what else you got?
That's it, man. I'm ready for Christmas. How about you? Have you ate any no-bake cookies or anything?
No. I don't believe in Christmas. I'm a Kwanzaa kind of guy.
Shit, man. Dude, I have ate so many cookies. This is my cheat month, by the way. I've had unbelievable amounts of cookies. This is just going to make the New Year's resolution that much sweeter. So,
you know what? Speaking of which, I mean, you can tell me it's off air, but me and you had a little bet. I totally forgot about it till the other day. I was reminded. Something popped up on my Facebook and reminded me of it.
Mm-hmm.
At the last throwdown from the pound,
we had
a little bet.
I'm sure I did. I had to. I was close, but I'm pretty sure I was more.
Because I recently weighed myself, and I've dropped about 8 pounds, but I'm still hovering around the 240-245 mark.
That's a good one, dude. When I had pneumonia, that fucking pneumonia, man, I ended up getting down to 255, which is the least I'd been in probably more than 4 years. So I was close. I'm sure I've gone back up since then just a little bit because I was eating afterwards. I'm not too far, man. I've got a plan. And the plan is to drop another 50 by this time next year, so get ready.
Well, I've joined the gym. Go to the gym too.
That's half of it. Now you got to get your ass there.
I go at least 3 times a week, depending on my work schedule. See, I'm kind of slacking off because trying to get back into the groove. And plus, me and Shannon haven't got to spend much time together here lately, so I'm kind of foregoing the gym to spend time with her on most occasions.
It's tough to do the time management stuff and put workout and all that shit in there too.
Yeah, for me, the only thing I got to plug is an upcoming. I'm actually going to be on an upcoming Screaming Boy production that we kind of touched on the last time when I fell asleep. But we're going to be talking about upcoming trailers that we've seen. It's going to be a really interesting discussion because it goes back to the Star Wars trailer. Over the summer, when Ronnie had came in, me and Ronnie and Adam met and we went to the movies. And guess what happened while I was at the movies with Ronnie and Adam?
I fell asleep.
But it's like I said on that, Adam hadn't seen the Star Wars trailer yet until we went and seen Age of Ultron, and seeing Adam just kind of like perk up like a little kid, seeing the Star Wars trailer was kind of cool, and we're going to talk about that because one main movie that released a trailer recently is kind of got some nostalgic value. But it looks horrendous. Oh God, does it look horrendous? It turns my stomach a little bit.
I almost want to get in on that. Are you guys talking Star Wars the same day or same podcast?
No, we've already talked Star Wars. That's where I fell asleep.
No, I mean I'm talking about actually reviewing the movie.
I don't know. I don't know what Ronnie has.
All right. Well, you know,
It's one of those. It's one of those. When Ronnie says, "Hey, let's do that show," I'll go, "Okay, you tell me when." he kind of dictates my life sometimes.
Well, he does. He is Ronnie Adams of the Screaming Boy podcast.
Yeah, and hey, we got to coordinate with Adam Saving Lives as Van Hammer down in South Carolina now. It's a long story. Hopefully, me, you, and Ronnie is going to be covering, you touched on it earlier, we had plans for it to be a Christmas release, but, you know, being an adult sucks sometimes, and we haven't got the chance to record it. But also, we got a I posed the roundtable issue to you that I'd like to do with you moderating with four guests.
Ooh.
Which would be myself, try to get coordinate with Sean Comer, Benjamin J. Colon, and Ronnie to cover another one of my favorite Batman story arcs, and that is Hush.
Yeah, now that is definitely going to happen at some point. We've just got to figure out a time. That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I posed the round table. That way that you could just kind of moderate and ask questions, and
mm-hmm.
then we all just kind of bounce our interpretations and discuss and kind of be a free thing there, because I think that one will be the whole Hush thing will be an interesting concept because you're getting four totally different perspectives of that story. And it's going to be, I think it will actually surpass the Killing Joke podcast that we've done, which was a year ago this month.
That's
wow,
right.
That was a long time ago. But outside of that, I have nothing going on. I just want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa, whatever you may celebrate. I hope you spend it with your family and the ones close to you. And yeah, I'm actually getting somber and sentimental now. Go out, just enjoy the time you have with friends and family, because you never know what may happen to you. Something tragic may happen, or it might be something like a new chapter in somebody's life open up that they have to move away, or it changes the dynamic of things, and being grown up sucks sometimes. I mean, I know that you don't always know what to expect, but sometimes you can do the little things to prepare for it, like telling people that you know you do care about them, and you know that they are a part of your life for a reason. So with that, I want to wish everybody happy holidays. I know that's the politically correct thing. I'll say Merry Christmas, Happy Kwanzaa. I don't care what your religious beliefs is. Just make it a good one. And with that, we're out.